The following podcast contains explicit sexual content, adult themes, and strong language throughout. You've been warned. I've always wanted to say that. I feel like Alice Levine on My Dad Wrote a Porno now. Hello, and welcome to The Dorothy Project. My name's Alice Beverton Palmer. I'm a DJ at the ridiculous London club night Push the Button, and this podcast is my way of celebrating women who found themselves through gay male culture. I am so excited about this week's guest. If you're not familiar with the Cock Destroyers, Sophie Anderson and Rebecca Moore are two porn stars who went viral back in 2018 with a series of super camp and highly explicit videos, and they've been beloved by gay men ever since. They've been immortalised on national TV by the Frock Destroyers on RuPaul's Drag Race UK. They've been guests of honour at DragCon in London. And they even starred in a gay porn movie, which was a period piece called A Tale of Two Cock Destroyers. Incredible. So far, so iconic. But what I wasn't necessarily expecting was for Sophie and Rebecca to become such eloquent allies and advocates for the LGBTQ community, of which Sophie herself is a part. And she's just an absolute sweetheart. I started by asking how the Cock Destroyers came to be.
I obviously heard of her, I watched her OnlyFans, so I was actually a fan. I was a fan of Rebecca. So she said, come along to this thing. So it was a burglar, and then it was like a reverse gangbang. So there's a lot more girls than one guy. Yeah, so really, really fun. And then she was like, I cannot believe it. She said, there is someone who talks like me for the dirty talk. And it started from there, and we became friends, and it just blossomed from there. Absolutely amazing. And then the whole thing, then we just decided to get together. So we've done like a few meets with a few different clients, you know, doing our normal kind of like work and everything, our escorting work. And we did a few meets that I said, well, and this was October 2018. She said, why don't we do a gangbang? I was like, yeah, let's do it. Because I was doing them anyway. She was doing that. And we thought, why not do a joint one? Two blondes, you know, big busty blondes. And we thought, how fab. So we did the first video, which then went viral.
Yeah.
So we put it out there on Twitter, not even knowing that anyone would really take in, as long as we had more dicks.
And how many like followers did you both have at the time?
Oh, God. So I think mine wasn't even 100,000.
Right.
Yeah, it wasn't even 100,000 by then.
Yeah.
And really, being honest with you, it was then the LGBT community then got hold of this and, being honest with you, raised us up.
Yeah.
And we weren't expecting it. And then the Cock Destroyers were formed. So by Christmas 2018, we were then known as the Cock Destroyers. And so it took such little time. And then from there, it kind of grew and grew and grew. And we did the club nights to start with, which, by the way, I absolutely loved. Just because it's having that more intimate experience and personal experience with the fans. Because really, it was always before that, kind of over the internet. And then suddenly we were brought all closer together with the drag queens as well. So we were being invited to like drag nights and everything. And this was, I must admit, because I go to like, you know, gay clubs, because that's my scene anyway. So always in Bristol, it used to be OMG and the Queen Shilling.
What does that mean to you?
What's it
like,
mean to
you? Yeah. What is a Cock Destroyer?
Well, do you know what? It's going out and being exactly who you want to be. And for me and Rebecca, it was going out and destroying the cocks. It was getting those guys and despunking their balls, you know? And I think this is where we are so pulled into the LGBT community. It's the fact that, you know, these guys and girls, the guys especially, are going out and getting the cock. And it's exactly what we were doing. And they're like, wow, there's two women who are doing this as well. Like, going out. And we don't care. And I think it was that whole free spirit of going, we're going out. We're getting the cocks. We're putting it out there on Twitter, on social media. And just, yeah, this is us. This is who we are. And It was just I was like there, and I was a bit more wild. So what Rebecca's done, she's channeled my wildness into something, which is the cock destroyer. I mean, for me, it is totally just letting go, being exactly who I want to be, whether that's on stage or going out or doing my work, my escorting work. It is like, here I am, and I am getting the dick, you know.
That's the most amazing motto.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see why that appeals.
Yeah. And then suddenly, so it's from the club nights that we were then like pulled into the drag world, because again, it's all to do with kind of putting on the face, getting painted for penis, and getting going out going out there and doing what we need to do. And I think that's why we're so welcomed into the drag, because it's again putting on the cock destroyer, putting on the face for the evening. And I think that's a lot to do with kind of the drag world as well. You're putting on what you need to do to go out there and either work, get the cock, you know, whatever you need to do. And I just think it's a real powerful thing. Because also, I like, part of me is actually, I know it sounds strange, but quite shy in a way. And I think a lot of people out there can kind of resonate towards that, especially in the drag world. Again, I wouldn't say it's necessarily putting on an act, but it's putting on a face. And I think sometimes that could be very important, whether you're going, let's say, for a job interview. You're always, you know, you're trying to sell yourself in that way. So whether it's selling your body, whether it's selling yourself for work or a job interview, it's putting on that face ready to take it on, if you get
totally.
What I mean. Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah, I wanted to talk to you about, like, the drag aesthetic.
Yeah,
okay,
I love it.
So, you know, the whole frock destroyer thing.
Love that.
So
my goodness.
The thing that made me laugh the most is that when they came out, they looked amazing, but they looked like less exaggerated than you, Rebecca.
Yes.
And I was like, that is the first time I've seen like a drag queen pastiche of something where it looked more restrained. And I was like, that's what's amazing about your aesthetic.
Yeah, and do you know what? That's exactly how I felt when I watched Frock Destroyers as well. It's like, wow, they're really channeling this, you know, the whole destroyer vibe.
Yeah.
And I was so impressed. So impressed.
Did anyone give you like a heads up that it was happening?
No
way.
Literally, me and Rebecca watched it. Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. And we saw it on Twitter and everything like that. And I was like, wow, this is absolutely amazing. Really, I was really surprised, but in such a good way, because I thought they've used the cock destroyers and bumped it up even more into the frock destroyers and kept it going. And I said to Rebecca, I just don't see that as a bad thing. I think it's very, very inspiring. And also to other drag queens out there, because when I went to DragCon a couple of weeks ago, oh my god, I was invited to that. I was to do the signings. I mean, the queue was like 2 hours long.
Oh my god.
And I was so honoured. Again, it's me being part, and Rebecca as well, us being part of the drag world, a part of the LGBT community, a part of the queer community. I just couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe the welcome there, because it was, again, it's all to do with, I think, a lot of what the cock destroyers and the frock destroyers is just being confident in yourself and confident in your sexuality, because that's a lot. When I first ever went on stage and I came home, and I remember doing that first video in my kitchen of what it means to me, and it means to me about being confident, about you know, being sexually free and sexually liberated to, you know, you're not going to go out there and hurt anyone. You're literally doing exactly what you want to do in a real positive way, because who wants to be restrained in that way? And I know, like I said before, for me growing up, it was a lot of that, because I came out when I was about 14. I felt a lot before then, but kept it very restrained. And I remember the struggle, and suddenly I said, oh, I fancy this person. Well, they were a girl. And then it was, I was being ridiculed. So I spent the rest of my years very much alone, you know. I was a singer at the time, so a lot of my freedom was singing. And I think, if you find something like that, if you are being bullied, you know, whether it's at school, whether it's in the workplace, you obviously want to be free from that somehow. So channeling that, whether you use it, you know, putting on a face, whether you go sing, whether you join an acting class, whatever you do, because there is always going to be something where you will be ridiculed for or bullied for. Unfortunately, that's just how it is. Now, I wouldn't care. I would not give a toss. I actually quite like the fact that people say nasty things, because what I like to do is change that around into something positive.
I've assumed, I might be wrong, that a lot of the people who followed you before the whole cock destroys thing were straight guys.
So true,
so, like,
babe. Yeah.
What have they like noticed? What vibe do you get from those fans on how things have changed?
I must admit, I still have that support there, and that's very, very good. Because what I really wanted to do was make sure that I cover everyone, and not to go, oh yeah, do you know what, you did me good, but no. I think it's good to still keep doors open. So I love my straight guys. At the end of the day, my straight guys as well, I see them for my escorting. I love the cock, you know. and the OnlyFans as well. So that's a big area of my income as well. So now I just love, and in a sexual way, I love being all with all different people. I'm generally pansexual. I love being with everyone. So a lot of my OnlyFans stuff is, like, I did a bisexual bomb, which was, I had two guys, and that was right up my street, you know. I've done a lot of that before, but not on film.
I was going to ask you about so you and Rebecca made a period piece for men.com.
Oh, amazing.
Was it A Tale of Two Cock Destroyers?
That's right. That is right.
Tell me about that.
It was, I mean, what an amazing opportunity. Absolutely. I remember Rebecca coming to it and she said, oh, look at this, you know. And once I got the script and everything, I looked through the script, I was like, this is amazing. So we were going somewhere. So basically the guys were doing the sexual side of things, and me and Rebecca were there doing the more acting side of things. And I thought, this is amazing. And even from getting the script right until we were actually there in our dresses, this was just, it was so professional.
It looked high budget.
It was amazing. The director was amazing. The actors, you know, we had such a great day. I tell you what was a bit weird, the fact we weren't doing any sex.
That's what I was going to ask you about. Yeah. If you're one of, like, your gay fans, then brilliant. There's something for everyone. But for you guys, it must have been really weird.
It was. And of course, Rose was there as well from Interview Mag. And I was like, this is...
Oh, I love that.
Amazing.
Piece.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. And I was just blown away by the whole day, because we... Also, I always think as well, it's the way you're treated. And that day was very special. It was like we had a little family there, from the hair and the makeup to, you know, the guys who were there doing the porn and acting. And it was just very, very special. Very special. And I know that day, it's just a very special day in my life. Yeah. And to be able to act fact as well, because it's something that I was always interested in when I was younger. Did I ever think I'd be doing it in my professional life again? No, I didn't, because I thought, yeah, you know, there, for me back in the day, because then I was planning to go to acting school, but then I had my son. So of course he is the center of my life, and he took he basically took all my attention, which is the right thing, you know, which I absolutely love. I love being a mum. But to be able to do that, and now my son is 13, and I'm able to do a few more things. You know, he's now going, he's going, yeah, whatever, mum, I'm on my Xbox. So yeah, so for him, that door is starting to, things are starting to change for him. I'm like, no. Aww. But it is nice in a way, because he's very supportive. And the thing is the more things I do with the Cop Destroyers and LGBT community, he can be there. And that's the nicest thing, because, of course, he hasn't been able to be involved in the porn and the escort inside of things, because, you know, I do keep that very separate. But in the whole, like, show nights and everything, he's very proud of me. And that makes a lot of difference as well. So, you know, I want him to feel so sexually liberated, you know, and if he wants to go to gay clubs, if he's straight, it doesn't matter to me. And I think that's very important as he's growing up, because I know how I felt when I was younger. Not that my dad was absolutely brilliant, and he is very supportive of me, but I think it was like back then as well, it was like, you didn't really want to say you're bisexual. You didn't really want to fancy girls, because there are still, I think nowadays it is more, there is more liberation. I think with the whole LGBT movement and with the Cop Destroyers, that's kind of been a real movement over the past couple of years, which is so positive.
I read a stat yesterday, actually, that was half of like 18 to 24 year olds say that they're neither gay nor straight.
Yeah.
So that's like, I mean, that's huge. Half of all young people have like a more fluid sexuality, and I think that's amazing.
Yeah. And I think also for the mental aspect of things, if you're not having to keep anything and not to feel kind of restrained sexually, I think it's only onwards and upwards in everything. I think, because especially when I was younger, there was a lot of things I wouldn't do. I mean, this was in my early teens, that I wouldn't do because I was afraid of people thinking of me a certain way. Whereas now, I really don't care. And like I said, I'll change that negative kind of view to a positive, and only people then could come back with the positive. And
which is, I wanted to ask you,
of like the
first few videos that went viral, is your favourite one?
Oh, wow. That is really, do you know what? For me, it was me trying to walk in high heels. I cannot walk.
Was that in the coat?
Yes. And do you know what? I remember that day because we were doing a real, like, kind of like glamorous photo shoot. And all I remember is I was saying to her, I cannot walk in these shoes. Because of course, Rebecca, she is just amazing. Honestly, she can. I mean, a woman who can walk in shoes, yes, she's up there. She's number one. Me, no. I've always been a trainer girl. And I'll get some slutty trainers, but those type.
Where do you find slutty trainers? Because I need to know.
I know. It's like, do you know what? I'm going to have to create some. Some slut trainers.
You already have a full line of merch. I want slutty trainers. Can they have leopard print on them?
Oh my babe, you're getting there. Zebra leopard.
Let's do this.
We are there.
But, and like when you guys started like selling merch, when were you like, this isn't going away, you know, this isn't a moment of 15 minutes of fame? When did that kind of sink in?
Do you know what? I don't think it has for me. I'm still, I think it's always with me. I'm like, I'm always a bit nervous to rely on things, because I think it's always good to have different avenues. Yeah. And I thought there's always a time it may go, but we're into the, you know, first 4 year, because it was October 2018. And it's still going. It's still going. So, and sometimes I've gone to Rebecca, because I must admit, when I was, because of being bullied by women when I was younger, and my mum leaving when I was five, I always find it really difficult to communicate with women, especially. So having Rebecca, I will be honest with you, is the first real female that I can say, she's like, she is, that when I say the queen online, she is, you know, she is very mumsy, she's very level-headed, she knows what she wants, and that's something that I look up to. So if I can give a bit of myself and put little videos out that are positive for anyone out there that gets them out of bed, then that's a little bit of me. So what she does for me, I can, aww, you know, give a little bit to someone else.
Yeah. Like,
maybe not in the same way, because she's a lot harder than I am, which is great for business. I mean, I tell you what, a businesswoman out there, yes, every time, Rebecca. But that's so great, because she makes the right decisions for us.
Yeah.
And that is such a great, great thing. I honestly love her as like a mother figure as well. And then together, it's like auntie and mum. So
yeah, I was going to say, you're such a perfect team.
Yeah, and she inspires me, and we're really great. And yeah, I'm just so happy with how the Cot Destroyers have gone, because I'm actually using that in my own way to put my funny videos out there, to put my positive videos,
and, you know,
so,
and like all the silly little, like, well, like stuff like all the gherkin stuff, like funny stuff.
And do you know what, I just think it's very, it's just like funny, and even if no one laughs, I've had a bloody great time.
And you can tell.
I think as well, it's not taking yourself too seriously. I think over the years, I used to be very, very sensitive as a child, and I think, again, that's because of my mum leave. I didn't really have a... My dad was brilliant, but not having that kind of motherly support there. I think then I was very, very sensitive about my weight and all that type of thing. So now, because I am very free in that way, and I really... It doesn't hurt me if there's anything... Like I said, I change it round to a positive.
Yeah.
If I can just give a bit of that to the younger people, whether they're in the LGBT community or young straight people, you know, males and females, you know, anyone, if I could just give a little bit of a laugh or a bit of positivity to make them feel better, that can go a long way.
Totally. And like, so I was talking to Simon Jones, who's a publicist,
the other
week, and he was saying, like, I was like, what do you think as a gay guy makes a gay icon? And he said he thought part of it was people who've been through something and who've been through some kind of struggle, and they've like, you know, come through, and they've got so much spirit in dealing with that, and that just feels like exactly what you've just described. And I think that the fact you've been so open about that, and that you've turned it into a strength,
Yeah, definitely. And I hope that the younger people out there is, well, actually, I'm the older. If you're feeling something or feeling a certain way about yourself, is to change it. Sometimes you have to go out and put on a mask, you know, whether it's going out to work, or whether it's going out to a club, you know, you're dressing up and you are putting on, okay, so I'm Sophie today and I'm the Cot Destroyer, you know? And part of it, I'm not saying all of it's act, because a lot of it is in my heart, you know, is in my heart. But the whole kind of like, when I put on my face, my makeup and everything, I'm like, yes. And it is like going to work for the day.
And have you like talked to drag queens about that? That's so similar to what
it is.
So many
so
of them say.
Similar. Yeah, it's, that's exactly right. I haven't really, we haven't sat down and I've gone had a conversation. But I tell you who I really inspires me is Trixie Mattel. I absolutely love her. I remember the first time I ever met her and I thought, I really relate to you and what you're doing, how wild you are and everything, and the music, because I love music. And when you connect with someone like that, it's such a powerful thing.
And
that's really funny
because Trixie is, when people like send you their Spotify, Trixie comes up. Like, she was in so many of them. So there is clearly something there.
Yeah, it's really great. And being honest with you, all the drag queens that I've met, so many now, and each one, because they're not just a drag queen. They have their own individual personality, you know, as when they're in drag. And I just think it's absolutely amazing. I mean, how they can be that individual as well.
Yeah.
It's not, they're not just putting on a face. They've got that actual character there. And that's really inspiring. And again, that's very inspiring for the Cop Destroyers as well. Really is.
So do you think it's like this feedback loop where like drag queens just...
Yes. So dreaming. True. Yeah, that is so true.
Have you
true.
Met the girls who were the Frock Destroyers? Davina and Blue and Bagger.
And they're absolutely amazing as well. And again, like, so I met Bagger again at DragCon, and we were like, yay, you know. And I was like,
much better.
Yeah, much better. And I thought, that is just brilliant. Yeah, I just, it's, and do you know what? And I've met Jodie Harsh a few times.
Oh, cool.
Love her, absolutely. Again, such an inspiring businesswoman. And
she's been on the scene for so long as well.
Yeah.
Just like at the top of her game.
Oh, at the top of the game, yeah. And for the music, she's just brought out music. And every time, like, just so, the thing about Jodie is so professional. And every time I'm like, wow, you're just amazing. Just so inspiring. And like I said, I take little bits from everyone.
So what is your favourite memory? Like going back to like when, from when the whole thing kind of kicked off.
Yeah.
What's been the moment where you were like,
oh, wow. Definitely the men.com, where we were invited, because at the end of the day, it's two women who are being invited into gay porn.
Yeah.
And that crossover is not really known. You know, there's bisexual porn, but for the gay porn and to be the front of it, the tale of two cop destroyers, wow, blown away. Blown
away. Did that feel like real acceptance?
Yeah, it did. It really did. And even by the guys there as well, it was like literally there wasn't any kind of animosity. It was literally we were there. And as a family again, as a family, as a porn, you know, LGBT family together that day. Yeah.
And final question.
Yeah.
This is what I ask everyone.
Yeah.
Who would you nominate? Who do you think I should speak to as like
another
Dorothy?
Oh, I love it. I would, let me have a little think. Do you know what I do? I absolutely love the drag queens. So I'd have to say Trixie Mattel.
Yeah, I'd love to speak
Trixie
to her.
Trixie Mattel, yeah. Or Jodie Harsh or Chips Chopper. I would absolutely love that. Or Morgan Michaels. Yeah, I'd go
good
for
choices.
Trixie. Whenever,
nice.
Yeah. And because I think they're also with the Cop Destroyers, like going out to perform on stage. And I just think it's great doing exactly what they want to do.
I would love to talk to Trixie Mattel. One thing I found really interesting over the last few years is how the audience at drag shows has changed. At Drag Race Queens shows, I've seen way more women, specifically young women. And Trixie herself has actually tweeted to ask, should she play women-only shows? I'd love to ask what lay behind that question. Next week, I'll be interviewing the author and activist Victoria Noe. Victoria was a fundraiser during the height of the AIDS crisis in America. She's written multiple books about being a woman in a gay man's world and has recently returned to activism with ACT UP New York. Until then, please do tweet us your thoughts at @Dorothy_podcast or leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Or do both. I live for the validation. See you next week.